Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel, I believe it's going to bless you today. Calvary was God's divine reach. Calvary was God saying, I want you to come home. Calvary was God saying to hell, you cannot have them. You cannot have that family. You cannot have that son. You cannot have that daughter. You can't have that marriage. When they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that Simon Peter attacked the high priest's assistant and cut his ear off. And Jesus kindly rebuked him and said, I don't need you to fight for me. I'm here to fight for you. I'm here to fight against everything that's fighting against you. And he said something powerful. He said, don't you understand that I could, in this moment, call 12 legion of angels, that's 72,000 angels. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And Jesus said, I have such power, and yet he displayed such humility that he said, I will not call those angels. And then he said this, no man takes my life. I lay it down. That's crucifixion. And I have the power to take it back up. That's resurrection. He was not weak. He was strong. He was powerful on the cross. And when I think about the crucifixion and the resurrection, I think about the types and the shadows, the pictures in the Old Testament. One of the most powerful is Noah and the ark. There's something maybe you've never seen before. I want you to just focus in on it. The Bible talks about in Genesis 8 that when the flood was finally over and the rain had stopped, that the ark lodged, or it was lifted out of the waters of death. The Bible said it happened in the seventh month on the Jewish calendar, which is different from ours, but it's the same calendar they follow for thousands of years. And it said that it happened on the seventh month, and on the 17th day, the ark, which was salvation that saved Noah and his family, was lifted up on Mount Ararat in the seventh month, on the 17th day. The same time on the Jewish calendar, the Bible said in Exodus 12 was something called Passover, which is a type of crucifixion, when the lamb was to be slain for the house, for the family. And the Bible said it was to happen, listen carefully, in the seventh month on the Jewish calendar, on the 14th day. 14, 15, 16, 17. So you have the crucifixion, the slaying of the Lamb, a picture. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world in Passover, and you have the resurrection when Noah and his ark is lifted out of the waters of death on the 17th, 3 days from the 14th of Passover, to the raising of the ark of safety. That's the death, that's the resurrection. Another beautiful picture of the crucifixion and the resurrection. The Bible is so perfect. It's no coincidence. These stories were written thousands of years apart, hundreds and hundreds of years apart, and yet they fit beautifully. The story of Abraham, God speaks to him and says, give me your son. Give me your only son. And the Bible said that he took the boy, who the theologians say was somewhere between 15 and 17 years of age, and The Bible said that the father, Abraham, laid the wood on the son's back, listen carefully, and they carried him out up the mountain, Mount Moriah, and it was a three-day journey. 3 days, 3 days. Think of it, for 3 days, the son carried the wood, a type of the cross, on his back. And for 3 days, in the mind of the father, his son, he knew why he was climbing that mountain. He knew why he was taking him up to sacrifice his son. But when he got to the top, there was a ram in the thicket on the third day that took his place. And God stopped him from slaying Isaac. And Isaac, a type of the resurrected Savior, after a three-day journey, walked off of the mountain that he was supposed to die on because it's crucifixion and it's resurrection. There's one other quick story I want to tell you. It's in the Old Testament when God was choosing a high priest. And he told the 12 tribes to write the name of the leader of each tribe, carve it into a dead stick, break a stick off a tree, and write the name of the leader of the tribe that you're in. And there were 12 sticks that were dead sticks that were laid in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, I'm going to choose a high priest, someone who will stand before me on behalf of the people. And the way that you'll know who my choice is the stick that was separated and dead and dried up that comes back to life and begins to bloom and blossom and produce almonds. That will be my choice. And there was one stick that had the name Aaron wrote on it. And the Bible said that after 3 days, they came back in. And there were all these 11 dead sticks, but one stick had come back to life as though it was connected to the tree again. That's resurrection. And Jesus Christ, there's a lot of religions that claim to be the way to heaven and the way to God, but they're all dead sticks. There's only one that has come back to life. There's only one empty tomb. I've been to Moscow. And Stalin is in a glass coffin. I'm telling you, Muhammad is still in his tomb. But Jesus Christ is alive and he is in this room. And he loves you. And he's reaching for you today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death is just an incident. It is not the final state of the Christian. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And because of his resurrection, we don't have to fear any evil. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you have. One day, you will face death unless Jesus comes first. And in that moment, you will either know the resurrection in life and have that peace. I had something very strange happen to me this week. My mother-in-law, Pat, had a medical emergency and had to be rushed to the hospital. And thanks be to God, she's doing great tonight. But we were in the emergency room in Johns Creek, my wife, Cherise, and myself, and some of the family there. And we were in the emergency room, and it was a busy night, and there were people just very, very crowded. And there's just that little curtain that separates you from a person beside you. And there was a man who they had brought in critical condition, who he had flown in, and they had to take him off the airplane. And he had been on a cruise that he worked on a cruise ship. How do you know all this? I wasn't eavesdropping. But you can't help but hear what is going on. And they were running in, and they were coming, and one report after another came in, and this man is sitting there, and you can hear him suffering and breathing hard and coughing, and in between he was talking the best he could. And one doctor comes in and says, "Sir, I have to tell you that your lungs are they're shutting down. Your kidneys are shutting down." Another one comes in, and we hear all of this, my wife and I, Sir, you have congestive heart failure, and we've done all that we can do for you. And when he was told that, he said, I'm just going to be blunt and tell you, he said, blank me. That's exactly what he said. And I just began to pray, and Charisse began to pray, and I said, listen, you know, just quietly, minding our own business. You never know who's eavesdropping on the other side of your curtain. As a matter of fact, some of you wouldn't even be here if God didn't have somebody privately, a grandmother, a mother, a father. You didn't even know they were praying for you. And that's why you didn't get killed in the car wreck. That's why you're still here. That's why drugs didn't kill you. That's why Satan couldn't take you out. God had somebody you didn't even know assigned to pray for you. He didn't know that there was a preacher on the other side of the curtain, and we were just whispering the name of Jesus and praying. Because I'm bold if I get a microphone and I got a Bible and a sermon. But if you meet me out in the streets, I'm not a forceful personality like that. And my wife turned to me after they came in and told him that last report, and she said, you need to go pray for him. She was whispering it at first. And I said, shh, no, that's not. Just pray. And finally she turned to me. My wife said this to me. And she said, you're supposed to be a preacher. Maybe it's time to tell the church, you're supposed to be a preacher. What? I know I shouldn't say this, and I won't say it again, I promise. But when the president declares Easter Sunday, Trans Day, all of us have to become preachers and say, no, it's Resurrection Day. This is a day about Jesus. It's not about this, that. This is the answer, Jesus. This is the Savior, Jesus. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're not mad at anybody. We want to say to everybody, He loves you. He'll forgive you. He will not leave you like He finds you. But you need Him. You need Him. I don't know where that came from, but all right, I'm good with it. And so, after being rebuked by my wife, I trepidly walked around that little curtain. And I walked in, and there was only one attendant in there, one nurse, male nurse. It's about 6'4". And when I went around the corner and I saw that man sitting on that table with oxygen in his nose, I said, sir, I don't mean to be a bother, but I'm a preacher. He looked up and I said, can I pray for you? I believe. I said, my mother-in-law's right there. And I wasn't meaning to listen in, but I heard everything, and I know you need God's help right now. And if you don't mind, I'd love to. And his eyes filled with tears. And he said, come in. He pulled the thing out and said, come in. And he said, lay hands on me. And I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him. And I felt like the Lord just gave me exactly what to pray. And I told him that, you know, Jesus, his family couldn't even get there. He lived in Miami. He couldn't even get his family. He was going to die. And I'm sure that he did die. But he didn't go like the enemy thought. You say, well, can somebody get saved like that? The thief on the cross prayed a 9-word prayer, and he's in heaven today. I believe that man's in heaven because he received what I prayed. Oh, come on, somebody. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that we don't have to leave this world in our sins, but we can give them to Jesus? What I'm trying to say to you is Jesus got up on that third day. He got out of that grave. And if you'll let him, he'll get into your life. But he never comes where he's not invited. And I'm telling you, you're running out of time. The signs of the times are all around us. Jesus, listen, if you can't believe in the resurrection, you can't believe in the rapture. Because the same one who came out of the grave is coming back again. And it could happen while we're in this service. Somebody praise the Lord like you believe the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Oh, hallelujah. And every head bowed, every eye closed. I've been amazed at how many people have been saved. And somebody else is about to change your destiny. Somebody else is about to break curses off of your family. Somebody else is about to say, I'm tired of this emptiness. I need life. I need resurrection. I need God in my life. I need Jesus Christ to cleanse me. He'll give you a past forgiven, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. He'll be your friend like you've never had. Invite him in. He's knocking on the door. Pastor, I know I'm not right with God and I want to be. Pray for me. If that's you, I won't embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you right where you're sitting. But he will not come. He said, if you acknowledge me before men, I acknowledge you before my angels in heaven. Pray for me. I want to get right with God. If that's you, boldly lift your hand right where you're sitting, all over this room. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Just keep it high and unashamed. Just another moment. Someone else, someone else. It matters. God sees your hand. I may even can't even see them all, but God can. He sees anything you do to move toward him. Pray this prayer, everybody. Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody. Lord Jesus. I believe the old gospel story. You were born of a virgin. You lived a sinless life. But you took my sins in your body and you hung them on the cross. You bled for me and you rose 3 days later so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have hope. So now give me a past forgiven, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. In Jesus' name. I believe. Give the Lord the biggest praise you can. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.